So Boker Tov, everybody. We are studying here Sefer Melachim, and I'll share with you, I'm going to share with you some exciting news, actually, and that is that on Perek Yud Zayin starts some of the most interesting parts of Sefer Melachim, and those are the Eliyahu Elisha narratives. We're going to meet two of the most important prophets in all of Jewish history, and we're going to sort of continue with them for a good 15, 20 chapters. Is it 15? Maybe, yeah, about 15 chapters. And they're exciting, riveting stories with Eliyahu and Elisha. That starts in Perek Yud Zayin. Okay? Before we get to Perek Yud Zayin, we're going to have a number of conspiracies and coups and rebellions and civil wars. And it's sort of like mopping up. You're going to see, like, we're going to go through 7, 8 kings today, just one after the other. So last time we finished up to, I think we got up to, we'll summarize. First of all, before we even start, I want to share with you here a screen that has a summary of the different kings. And this I thought would make it much easier than let me just find it. Was it here? No. Ah, here we go. Malchei Yisrael, perfect. Okay, this can everybody see this chart here?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have here? We have on the right Mamlechet Yehuda. We have on the left Mamlechet Yisrael. This is the southern kingdom. This is the northern kingdom. So we start with, let's just go through Malchei Yehuda. We start with Shlomo, David, Shlomo. Then Rehavam, 27 years. Aviyah was 3 years. And now we've been studying Asa, Beno Shel Aviyah. Okay, so three kings. And ruling for the two out of the three for relatively long periods of time. On the other side, we're going to see there's a lot more changeover. Yeravam ben Nevat, remember who is the one who starts the whole succession from the kingdom. Nadav, his son. Basha, we're going to meet Basha today. Basha is the first official coup in Jewish history, I don't know. And he is going to, no, there are others. But he's going to take over the kingdom in what would one could argue in some illegitimate way. I guess everything, there are very few rules in Sefer Melachim about what's right and wrong. But we're studying a little bit more about Asa, okay? Asa is right over here. Asa is a really good king, especially compared to his father and Rehavam. His father and grandfather were not great. Asa is much better, okay? Now, and we spoke about a little bit how he destroys Avodah Zarah, where he gets rid of it. Remember, he also was engaged in civil wars so Asa is overlapping with a little bit of Yerucham and Nadav and Basha. And there are civil wars between them. Asa, in the end, commissions Ben-Hadad, remember, the Aramean up north, to fight the northern kingdom, because they were trying to start a war with Yehuda. So things are pretty, pretty ugly. Let's look at a few things in Divrei Amim just to round out Asa's, his biography. So we're just going to open up Divrei Amim now. Can everybody see this on the screen? Can you see Bar Ilan on the screen? No, okay, let's see it in a second. Let's go to Divrei Amim. Okay. Good. Okay. Can everybody see this now? Okay. Okay. So first of all, we have a really interesting story about Asa's teshuvah, how he comes back to Hashem. And there's this whole story here, where Navi comes, the Azar Yahu ben Oded, Aitala Vurach Elohim. Hashem will be with you if you're with him. If you look, seek him out, you'll find him. And if you leave him, Hashem will leave you. These were many years when the Jews did not have true leaders or Kohanim. They didn't have connection to Torah. And he was very upset about it. He was distressed by this, and he sought out God. We go on a little bit. So he gets rid of all of the idolatry after this. Okay, so this is Asa. It's a bit of a time of religious revolution. Okay, that's number one. We also see about Asa. Let's just go down to Pasuk Yud. So Asa's kingdom is succeeding, and there is a emigration from the northern kingdom to the south. People wanted to be where the money was and where things were stable, so they came to the south. These are major discussions in world politics today. Syrian refugees, leaving Syria, going to Europe, and the Mexican-American border, and Israel and Eritreans. This is something that, but this was a sign of strength for Asa, because everyone wanted to be part of his kingdom, and they were leaving the other kingdom. So the northern kingdom was losing all of their financiers and bankers, and Jewish lawyers and doctors, and they're all coming down to the southern kingdom. So that's the second thing we see about Asa. But the third thing that I just want to show you, this is the next parak, that Asa doesn't end up perfectly. He seems to sin at some point. Asa gets sick in the 39th year of his reign. And he's a foot sickness. We spoke about this a little bit last week, that maybe he had gout, like every good British king. And the problem is that he sought out only doctors and not also God. And there's an important lesson here, that when a person is sick, we obviously seek out medical help, but we also need to seek out Hashem. We have to do both of these things simultaneously. Rashi, Tzudat David says, Lo darashti palel, he didn't even dive into Hashem. He only relied on the rofeim, and that's a problem. We need to find a better balance. It doesn't mean that a person should say, I'm going to daven instead of having surgery. No, but it means that a person has to balance listening to medical advice and seeking out Hashem at these distressful times, and davening and seeking refuah. So, Vayishkav Asa im avotav vayamot bishnat 41 lemocho. Okay, Asa dies. And he is in the 40th year of his reign. He reigns a long time. So, look, and by the way, interesting burial practices in the time of Sefer Melachim. We'll just look at the next pasuk. Vayigberu b'kivrotav ha-shekralu b'ir David. They buried him in Ir David. Vayashkivu b'mishkav ha-shamilei v'samim uznim u'rukachim b'merkachat ma'asei v'yisrfu lo shrifam tov alibod. What do they do with the body? They bring all these perfumes and spices that they put on the body, and then they burn the body. Why do you think they do this? Okay, let's see any explanations here. Why they dafka do this? So first of all, Radak says, Perush Sreifat HaBisamim V'Hamir Kachot. No, they just burn the spices, the incense. They're not actually burning the bodies. And Chazal bring the people, they would sometimes burn different clothing or materials. Now, Mitzudat David says, no, they would burn mitato klei tashmisho, all of his possessions. You burn their possessions. It's not that you're burning their body. And so this is the explanation of the commentators. Yafeh. Good. Next, let's go back to our... So we're going to open up here. We'll open up on the screen. Everybody can use the... I'm not on mute. Okay, let's go to the text of Sefer Melachim, where we'll continue with. We'll go to Melachim, and we're up to chapter 15. Let's go to chapter 15:25. Okay, 15:25. I'm just going to open this up. Fifteen Good. Can everybody see the screen? Can everybody see well? Yes? I see some thumbs up. Can everybody see? Okay, good. Okay. Okay, 15, chapter 15, it's on the screen, 25. So Asa has died now, okay? Vayishkav Asa, 24, Vayishkav Asa im avotav, Vayikaver im avotav, Vayir David aviv, Vayimloch Yehoshaphat beno tachtav. So notice who's called Asa's father, David. Is David actually Asa's father? No. David is Asa's great-grandfather, but he's David's father in the sense that he was connected to David's values. And Yehoshaphat is going to be the king afterwards. Now we go to Venadav ben Yeravam, Malach al Yisrael bishnat shtayim le'asa. So Nadav ben Yeravam, if you go back to that chart for a second, on the left side, remember Malcheso, we had Yeravam, and now Nadav. In the second year of Asa Melech Yedav, Imoch Ayisrael shnatayim, and he rules for 2 years. Vayasa rabbi oznet b'enei Hashem, and he did the ra in God's eyes, he did evil, committed evil, vayelech baderech aviv v'chatadoh asher achatit Yisrael. He follows the same path as his father. He causes the Jewish people to sin. By the way, when in the list of the Rambam of people who don't go to Olam Haba are people who cause others to sin. Vayikshor alav Basa ben Achia, the Beit Yisachar, Basa ben Achia conspires against him, and Basha is really the right word. Basha with a shin is from Beit Yisachar. Interesting. So the king from Shevet Yisachar. Vayakehu Basha bagibeton. Asher laplishtim, he smote him, he killed him, he assassinated him in a place called Biton, which belonged to the plishtim. So while Nadav and Yisrael are sieging Gibton, that's when Basha takes over, kills Nadav. And he said this is sort of like a military coup of sorts. You would imagine Basha as a general of sorts. And he kills him in the third year of Asa Melech Yudah. Now, how do you prevent the previous king's family from coming back and becoming king? You have to kill all of them, unfortunately. Okay, so it's this is very tribal thinking, zero-sum game thinking. It's either my family or your family, and if we leave anyone alive from your family, you're going to want to get back the kingship, so we're going to kill everyone from your family. I spoke about this a little bit on Shabbat, that we're living in a world which has descended into tribalistic zero-sum game type of values, us or you, instead of everyone thinking about how could we all win, how could we all think about each other and create a win-win instead of, and that's what democratic thinking is. Democratic thinking is, how can we create a society that works for everybody and not just for one tribe, one family, one dynasty, So that's the real challenge of today. And we're seeing what happens in tribal times. He kills all of Beit Yeravam, lo ishir kol neshama liyaravam ad hishmido, kidvar Hashem, asher diver b'yad abdo, achya shiloni. He kills everybody from Yeravam's family. But this was prophesized. Remember, it was prophesied that all of Yeravam's family would be killed. Well, this was fulfilled through Basha, who kills all of Yeravam's family. Okay, let's just look at the commentators here. So this is interesting. Rabbag raises an interesting theological question. Okay, if Basha is fulfilling the word of God that all of Yeravam's family needed to die, then how is this considered like a sin for Basha? Basha is fulfilling the will of God. Does anyone have any thoughts about this? Anybody think they could try to resolve this? Anybody? How do you explain this?
Does it have to do with how he went about it?
Okay, so it could be how he did it. Sometimes you could do it, killing people is always a brutal thing, but you could kill someone in less brutal or more brutal types of ways. The other thing, this often comes up with Yitziat Mitzrayim, with Paro. On the one hand, we know that God prophesied that Avraham's family would go down to Mitzrayim, to a foreign land, and be enslaved. And God would then redeem them. That we know. So why is Paro responsible for subjugating the Jewish people? Why is Paro responsible for subjugating the Jewish people? He's just fulfilling the word of God, right? So the answer is, Rashi explains, well, who says it needed to be him? Maybe Paro, it didn't have to be Paro, could have been somebody else, right? So this is a, this is one of the theological question that comes up. Let's see how Ralbag answers this question. Can everybody see the screen right here? This is Ralbag right here. Okay. Let's look at two things here. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim says, Ze asa lechazek malchuto shelo yimreduba. First of all, he kills off the whole family so that nobody would rebel against him. Okay, that we spoke about. The fact that he also killed the young children and the mothers. This was God's will, and it was a punishment by God, by God's will. So he sort of suggests, now this is hard to understand, why God would want the children and even the mothers to be killed. This is like very foreign. It's hard for us to understand this. But he says, "Vayaonesh hashkachai," meaning there he is bringing about maybe what compelled him to do it was that God, orchestrated or planned for this punishment to happen. So that's why he did it. Let's look at the Rabbah. Ra'u the sapek ech machshav lo ze la'avon v'nei ayad var Hashem biyad achiyana v'yishayezeb ze. The Beit Yeravam ben Nebat, v'nei matzalu shenachshav lo la'avon. Ma shemar acharei zev al kol asher asa b'nei Hashem l'chizov v'maseh adav deot k'Beit Yeravam ya'al asher yika oto. V'afshar nomar ki ne'anash al zeh mipnei shekvar hara shelo asa zeh bavor chatat Yeravam kin gam hu alach b'darchei Yeravam v'lo asa zeh gam kein malei dvar Hashem. Wow. Powerful answer by the Ralbag. Okay. It would be one thing if Basha kills Yeravam's whole family because Yeravam is evil and Basha wants to bring goodness and ethics and morality and Torah values to the world. That would be one thing. But for Basha to do this and then continue in Yeravam's ways, that means he was just doing it for personal gain. There was no larger value. There were no values here. It was just power. It was a power grab. The law says, he just did this so that he wouldn't have any rebels in his kingdom. And that's why we'll see that Basha is going to be punished for this. Because it all depends on his rationale for doing this. He's doing it because this is Dvar Hashem. And he wants to create a different type of kingdom than sometimes you have to, you have to get rid of, something in order to build anew. You have to burn something down to start all over again. If that's his intention, that's one thing, but that's not. How do we know it's not? Because he's just as bad as Yeravam. So that's the difference here. Okay, let's go back to our psukim. So pasuk lavid. Now remember, well, so why did God command Achiah Shiloni to prophesy about this? Al chatot Yeravam asher chata v'asher hechati et Yisrael b'choso asher hechizat Hashem Elokei Yisrael. These are the sins that Yeravam committed and caused God much anger because of his sins. V'yater divrei Nadav v'chol asher asa lohem k'duvim al sefer divrei yamim amachi Yisrael. And the rest of Nadav's biography is written in divrei yamim. There's a war now also between Asa and Basha all of their years. Okay, so I'm just going to go back to that chart for 1 second to make sure that everyone knows where we are in terms of the kings. So we're looking on the left side here. So we've studied Yeravam. We just finished Nadav. And now we've started with Basha's coup, that he killed the whole family, Yeravam and Nadav. And remember, Basha overlaps, you see, 906 to 883, overlaps with Asa. They started around the same time. Asa rules for longer. They started around the same time. Good. Let's go back to where we were. Share. Okay, good. Pasuk Lamed Bet, Lamed Gimel. So Basha is king for 24 years. in Tirza, a place called Tirza. So does anybody here know where Tirza is? Anybody have an idea where Tirza is? So Tirza must be in the north, probably the area of Shomron. We could even look it up. Okay, this is one of the advantages of having, let's look at where Tirza is. Actually, you know what, now I'm remembering. There's something called Nachal Tirza. Okay, Tirza, let's look it up in the Shomron. I imagine it's in the Shomron. Where is Tirza? Okay, I'm looking this up on, let's look at Tirza. Good, yafeh, that's exactly where I thought it was. Okay, so Tirza, so this is a map of Eretz Yisrael here on the left. So we're in the northern part of the Shomron near Shechem. Shechem is here, Tirza is there. Nachal Tirza is a very important valley in the in Eretz Yisrael. Tirza, it's Ta'ir Kananit. Okay, it was a Canaanite city, Lachar Kamin Yisraeli, then it became an Israelite city. It's the capital. Okay, v'meshach tekufa mesuyemet kibiram al nachal Yisrael. It was actually the capital at one point. Okay, one second. Historia. Tirza b'mikra. Okay, yeah, Basha. Here we go. Here's Basha. Okay, now let's just look at a quick picture because we can. This is very cool of Nachal Tirza. Has anyone here ever been to Shechem or that area? I guess maybe you've seen it on Fauda, perhaps. Okay, the second year of Fauda. This is Nachal Tirza right here. Okay, here we go. This is Nachal Tirza on the right side. Okay, the reason this is important, because it was a trading route. Even Yosef, okay, comes through, you know, when the brothers, you know, the Yishmaelim come and travel down, they come through a place called Nachal Tirza, okay, into Shechem. This is an important trading route. Let's just see in relation to Shechem, if we could see a picture here. Nachal Tirza in Shechem. Let's see if anything comes up. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Okay, mistake there. FM mode, good. Let's move on now to, let's continue with our study of the parak. Okay, good. Now we're up to So Basha also goes according to the path of Yeravam, and he causes the Jewish people to sin. Good. Next parak. Now we're going to have a prophecy from Yehu ben Hanani, some other prophet, to Basha. What does he tell Basha? Yan asher harimoti chamine afar ve'etnecha nagid al ami Yisrael. Hashem says, because I have raised you up from the dirt, from the dust to be king of Israel, yet you have caused them, the people, to sin and follow in the way of Yeravam. I'm going to do the same thing to your family that I did to your Avam. You're going to all be wiped out. The dead to Basha in the city will be eaten by the dogs. In the field, the birds will eat their carcasses. Pretty graphic stuff. And Basha's exploits and his, you know, is Gvurato. It's interesting that we even talk about Gvurato. How does Targum Yonatan explain this? Is sort of his courage. I mean, it sounds like, you know, his Gvuraz, we interpret it now today, Gvuraz, wouldn't apply. We wouldn't apply this word to him. But Vaishkav Basha Mavotav, Vaikavar Britzav, Vaimoch Ela, Vino Tachtav. So after Basha, you have Ela. Ela, okay, comes after Basha. So Yehu also has a prophecy for Basha. Okay, Okay, so Basha, he was prophesized to Basha that he was going to be destroyed, just like Beit Yerobam. He's not Asurim Vasheshana Asa Melech Yuda. So Asa is still king. Malach Ela ben Basha al Yisrael b'tirtza shnatayim. So Ela becomes king for 2 years in Tirtza. Vayikshur alav o avdo Zimri sar machatit harachav. And now there's a military coup. Zimri, who's the head of half of the chariots of the king, who v'tirtza shotesh shikur beit arz asher labayit v'tirtza. How did Zimri succeed at killing Ela? Well, Ela was drunken at a party at Beit Arza, which was in their palace in Tirta. So what do we see here? Well, as a king, you have to be careful who you get drunk with, because he ends up being killed by Zimri. So now Zimri is king. We're just going through the kings. They're dying like flies. So he cuts kol Beit Basha. And now, again, now the punishment is fulfilled for Basha. So Zimri kills all of Beit Basha. He doesn't leave anybody remaining. He kills the entire extended family. He fulfills the word of God by killing the whole family again. And he also caused the whole people to sin, and that's why Hashem destroyed the family of Basha. And the rest of Elah's biography is in Divrei Hayamim. Good. Now we're up to 16. Pasuk, sorry, 15. Okay. Bishnat Esrim Hashem Hashem al Asa Melech Yudam Alach Zimri Shivat Yamim V'tirtzav Am Chonim al Gibeton Asher LaPlishtim. So Zimri is going to lead for 2 years. Okay. So we have, let's just go through this list again. Okay, again, they're dropping like flies here. New screen share, seconds. Okay, I'm gonna share this now. Ooh, okay, we lost that chart. Let me just look that up. Okay. Okay, here's that list. So we've gone through Yeravam, Nadav, Basha, Elah, and now Zimri. How long is Zimri going to rule for? Very short period of time. We're still going to have Tavni and Omri. Finally, we get the Ach, their stabilization, but stabilization in the wrong direction. Okay, so good. Let's go back to the Psukim. Okay, new share. Good. So, So now Zimri is out. How long did I skipped a few lines here. Bayal Zimri. We were up to Pasuk Tedvav. Bishnat Asum Lashavashana Asa Melech Yudas. So in the 27th year of Asa, remember Asa is the king throughout all these. Malach Zimri Shivat Yamim. Zimri is only king for 7 days. So once Zimri becomes king, everyone anoints Omri as the king. So Zimri's plan didn't work so well, because what he did only elevated Omri. Who is Omri? Omri was the Ramatkal. He was the Sartzeva. And Omri is sieging Tirza. So Zimri, when he sees that Omri is going to succeed by coming back and taking over the kingdom, Zimri burns down the palace and he dies. He commits suicide, essentially. So this is the refrain. We keep coming back to this line. It's like a song. You keep coming back to the main line, the chorus. This is the chorus. He sinned just like Yeravam. He didn't walk in the way of Hashem. He caused Jewish people to sin, and that's why he was killed. And the rest of Zimri's life and his conspiracy, etc., is written in Divrei Yamim. Az yechalek am liYisrael lachaytzi. Chatzia am ayachare tivni ben kinat ben michov lachaytzi achare omri. So Omri, who's the Ramatkal, doesn't do so well, okay? Because half the kingdom goes to Tivni. Now we have three Jewish kingdoms. We have Tivni, Omri, and Malchei Yehuda as well. But vayachazak ama asher achrei omri adam asher achrei tivni ben ginat vayamo tivni vayimloch omri. Okay, so one kingdom ends up taking over the second one, and you're back to two kingdoms, Omri's kingdom and Asa's kingdom. And now bishnas shloshim v'achat shana la'asa melech Yehuda. In the 31st year of Asa ben Yehuda, malach omri la'Yisrael shtei masrei shana v'tirtza malach sheishanim, he was king for 12 years. Vayiken et har shomron me'et shemer b'chir ra'im kasef. Even at the har, vayigrachim ha'ir asher bana al shem shemer adonai har shomron. So he makes a purchase. And every king has to have their building project. And he makes a purchase and he has a building project. And what is that? So let's look at the commentators. He's going to essentially build the first time that we build a city of Shomron. What do we say here? So what does the Ravbag say? So the hill on which he built the city, the idol of that mountain was called Shemer. He calls it Shomron. So the idea is he takes on the original name of the city and he calls it Shomron. And that's how Shomron is built. This will become the capital city of the north. Good. Let's keep going on, running through these kings. Vayas, Vayase, Omri Arabi Beinei Hashem, Vayara Mikol Asher Lefanav. Omri also sins; he's worse than everyone before him. Wow. Vayelech b'chol derech yirva menavat, uvechatzav asher chayiti tisol lachis et Hashem. Okay, Yisrael b'ahav lehem. Same refrain. He caused everyone to go in the way of Yeravam. Because people are sin, this angers God. The other divrei Omri Asher Asav v'rato Asher Asav. And the divrei Omri Amim Amachay Yisrael. The rest of Omri's life is written in the Chronicles. And now we get to Ahab. Ahab is a more important king. He's not a good king. He's a terrible king. But he's important because of he's going to play a role with Eliyahu and Elisha. Okay, so let's finish up this parak. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, we will start the new parak. V'achav ben Omri malach ha'Yisrael b'shnat shloshim u'shmona shana le'asa melech Yehuda. So Achav becomes king at the end of Asa's life. Achav is in Israel. Asa is in Yehuda. V'imloch Achav ben Omri al Yisrael b'shomron esrim u'shtayim shana. He's going to be king for 22 years. V'yas Achav ben Omri Rabbi ne'ashem yikol asher lefanav. Wow. Achav is the worst. He's worse than everybody else. You couldn't think it can get worse. It does. Gets worse. Vayi anakel lechto v'chatatu Yeravam benevat v'yikach ishat izevel bat et ba'al. Okay. Now, what happens with him? Vayi anakel. So, what does this mean? It means that. Sorry, I just lost my place here. Vayi anakel lechto v'chatot. That he wasn't content to follow in the sins of Yeravam. He had to have worse sins. There's a non-Jewish wife. Listen to her name. Et Baal. Et Baal. Sorry, one second. Someone's just coming to collect this stuff. Give me one second. Sorry, I'm just going to just pause for one second here. Apologies. Okay, apologies for that. Okay, let's finish up the parak. So it was, you know, the sins of Yeravam were not sufficient for him. Izevel is a terrible figure. you see her name, Bat Et Baal. She's a daughter of an idolater. Melech Tzidonim. She's from Tzidon, which is Tyre. He himself, Achaz, is worshiping Baal. Okay? Now, Izebel, what's Izebel's, what's the name in English? It's, there's a term for it. Maybe it's just Izebel. There was a restaurant in New York, if I'm not mistaken. Was it Izebel? I think it was Izebel. One second, let me look this up because this is really fascinating. Okay, Jezebel, that's right. There was a, I'm going to show you a really something very interesting. Okay. This is fascinating here. Let me just show you something that connects Tanakh to daily cuisine. Okay. Okay, can everybody see this page? I'm going to share with you this page. There was a kosher restaurant. Okay, there was a kosher restaurant, J. Soho, formerly known as Jezebel, to close this week. Okay, so why did it close? Whatever closed, it wasn't doing so well. But they lost their kashrut because they didn't want to give kashrut to a restaurant that has the name Jezebel. Okay. Because Jezebel is, she's not a good character in Tanakh. And it just didn't, they didn't feel that it had a good connotations to, for a kosher establishment. Okay, so let's read on. So we're going to learn about Jezebel, in these coming weeks. Let's just go back to the text. Vayakem Mizbeach Labal Beit HaBaal Asher Banav Shomron. They build a temple to Baal in the Shomron, by Yas Achav et Asherah, by Yosef Achav Asot, and Achav also makes an Asherah, there's another type of idolatry, by Yosef Achav Asot, Achizit Hashem, okay, Yisom, Yikom, Achay Yisot, Asher Lufanav. He angered God more than any other kings before him. Yamav Banach Yiel Beita Eli et Yericho, Ba'aviran, Bechoro Yistah, with his group Tziro, Yitziv, Ve'atek, Yidvar Hashem, Asher Diber Yad, Yoshua Benun. Okay, we'll talk about this Pasuk next time, as we get into the stories of Eliyahu and Elisha. Okay, but we've encountered Achav, he's worse than anybody else. His wife is terrible. They themselves worship Avodah Zarah. It's not just that they permit those around them to worship Avodah Zarah. They themselves are idolaters. And we're going to see what happens as a result. And that's why Hashem is going to send Eliyahu and Elisha. So stay tuned for next week. We're going to get into the Eliyahu-Elisha narratives. Very exciting stuff. So wishing all of you a great day. We will convene next week at 10 o'clock. On Zoom. So enjoy, stay healthy, stay safe, take care of yourselves. And please, God, by the way, you're welcome to join us at Sudah Shlishit this week. We're going to have a communal Shira outside in the front. So if you want to come sing for a little bit, everyone will be in masks, social distancing, and just a nice way to end Shabbat with Sudah Shlishit. Okay, and some singing. No food, but singing. Okay, wishing you all a great day, Kol Tov.
Thank you.
Okay.